Blog Talk Radio.
Looking for. And so we named some things.
things that we believe that you should look forward to and that you should be excited about. And so we said that this was the year of a new anointing.
Yes.
God wants to do something fresh in Sister Minister Pat's life. He just wants to brush the old and bring something new. This is the year of new authority. You know, you have to begin to exercise what it is that God has called you to do. I was telling somebody, you know, and I was telling myself, you know, you move in the highest ranking gift. What you mean? You an apostle? You gotta do the thing. You know? So we talk around with these titles and not realize that we serve under the greatest governmental authority. See, we think the body of Christ is just a religious culture. We are a system. You know what I mean? We have the highest president and king. We serve the highest authority figure, the deity that ever exists, and we are his ambassadors. We are his representation of who we are. And so you should be able to exercise your pastoral minister authority right in the bank and in everywhere else. Amen.
Yeah.
Because you serve the greatest authority ever exists. So we want to realize that we have new authority. And we want to exercise it in a way that is kingdom mindful, and we understand that God has called us to do it. And then we talked about that new covenant. We talked about new doors and gates opening. I don't know if you was here when we said that when the door was closed, it didn't stop Christ. He walked right through that bad fella.
Yeah.
I got to get on the other side, you know? And so he walked right through that door. After his resurrection, he understood who he was. And then we're going to look at new favor today. We talked about new alignment. The Bible said that when Saul just associated himself with the prophets, he started prophesying.
Yeah.
Just because who he became in alignment with, because he became connected to a certain remnant of people, it completely, radically changed his life. Amen.
Yes.
Because he was connected
to
a remnant of people, everything about him changed. And then we talked about new dreams. And then our apostle bust out last week, told us to dream again. Amen. And we talked about how dreams, and they say your old man should see visions, your young should see visions, your old man should dream dreams. And we understand that old doesn't mean age, it means maturity. And we talked about how God's been growing us up all this time. Amen. What you feeling is just growing pains. Going through something because you're pregnant and you got such greatness inside of you. Amen.
Yeah.
And God was maturing you. He would allow you to go through a little test to see if you would stand the fire. If you would go through a little thing. You know, you've heard it before. You ain't going through it. You are growing through it, right?
Yeah.
And so then we talked about new movements of the Spirit of God. And we want to look at that today and talk about how you are impregnated with something great. Amen.
Amen.
Stop trying to figure it out. Stop trying to Google it, imitate it, duplicate it. You are a designer original. It's nothing like it. There's no other sound. There's no other book that has been written. There's no other center. I don't care if everybody else got the same kind of life skill center. It ain't like the one that's inside of you. Amen. It is befitting for this time. And so you have to be able to make that quantum leap of faith and understand that there's no blueprint for it. The only person who quite may get it, understand it, is the God that's downloaded in your heart. Amen.
Amen.
And if you'll just trust him, it'll work out all right.
Amen.
So let's look at this new favor. Let's look at Ruth, the second chapter. And we're going to start in the 10th verse, Ruth 2, 10 and 5. That's what we're going to look at. And we're going to talk about how we could just start receiving this new kind of favor and understanding what it does. So remember, this is interactive. We talk, you listen to the Holy Spirit, and then you share. So let's find out what God has to say as it relates to us looking at this issue of understanding what new favor is. What do you know about favor? How would you define favor? Let's see what is your working definition of favor. Who would like to share? New favor. Ruth 2. Yeah, Ruth, the second chapter. We're going to start at the second, the 10th verse. Ruth 2. And we're going to look at the second verse. All right, so what do you know about favor? How do you define favor?
That would be my life.
Huh? That would be your life? All right, then. She just summed it up. My life is favor. Okay.
All
right. Now give me a definition here. How do you define favor?
Unexplainable. Completeness.
Okay.
Can't define a word with a word, so I can't say unattainable favor, but things that transpire in your life that it's just a total completeness and gifting, and we as believers just know it's from God.
Okay. Anybody else? Mm-hmm. Can you give me a definition of faith?
Right.
Act of kindness. Okay.
Not necessarily due to you, but given.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I like that. Act of kindness. Not necessarily due to you, but given. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else?
Grace.
Grace. Grace. So define grace then. Okay.
Chosen without application.
Chosen without application. Yeah.
Favor or grace?
Huh?
Was that favor or grace?
A divine enablement.
A divine enablement. Mm-hmm. Like it. Yeah. A divine enablement. Anybody else?
Beyond your capability.
We're live on Blog Talk. Praise God.
Okay.
Man,
yeah. Wow.
Woo, man.
Quickly, huh? quickly. I like it. Immediately.
Pull it down.
Okay, so favor definitely is an act of kindness. It is definitely interchangeable with grace when you look at Old Testament. But it's just not an act of kindness. It is an act of kindness beyond what is due and unusual. Okay? Anybody else? Favor is a turnkey. You know, when favor steps in, what was supposed to be favor just kind of like turns the key around. It's a turnkey.
Yeah.
It is a good deed beyond natural. It is a good deed beyond natural.
Yeah.
It is not mediocre. It is superlative. There we go. Something like that. It's that word. It is superlative. It is life-changing. Okay? Favor is life-changing. And favor is not just a good will. It is will good. It is willed good. It is not just a good will. It is a will that is good. It walks away like, ah. All right, so let's look at Ruth, the second chapter. We're going to start at the 10th verse, and I am reading out of the CEB, Common English Bible. Verse 10 says, "Then she bowed down, face to the ground, and replied to him, 'How is it that I found favor in your eyes, that you noticed me? I'm an immigrant.' Boaz responded to her, 'Everything that you did for your mother-in-law after your husband's death has been reported fully to me. How you left behind your father, your mother, and the land of your birth, and came to a people you hadn't before. May the Lord reward you for your deed. May you receive a rich reward from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you come to seek refuge.' She said, 'May I continue to find favor in your eyes, sir, because you comfort me And because you've spoken kindly to your female servant, even though I'm not one of your female servants. At mealtime, Boaz said to her, come over here, eat some of the bread, and dip your piece in the vinegar. She set alone aside the harvesters, and she served roasted grain to her. She ate, was satisfied, and she had leftovers. Then she got up to glean. Boaz ordered his young men, let her glean between the bundles and do not humiliate her. Also, pull out some from the bales for her and leave them behind for her to go glean, and don't scold her. So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed what she had gleaned. It was about an imple of barley. She picked it up and went to town. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She brought out what she had left over after eating her fill and gave it to her. Her mother-in-law said, where did you glean today? Where did you work? May the one who noticed you be blessed. She told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, the name of the man whom I work today is Boaz. All right. So let's hear that story one more time out of another version. All right. So get ready because I'm going to ask you questions and pull on you for what you got from what you've read. All right. So Ruth 10, verse 2, out of the Voice version. And she says, overwhelmed, Ruth bowed down before Boaz, putting her face to the ground in front of him. She said, I'm just a foreigner. Why have you noticed me and treated me as if I'm one of your favorites? I have heard your story. I knew about everything you have done for your mother-in-law since your own husband died. I know how you left your mother and father, your home, and your country. You have come to live in a culture that must seem strange to you. May the Eternal One repay you for your sacrifice and reward you richly for what you have done. It is under the wings of Israel, God, the Eternal One, that you have sought shelter. I pray you will continue to look upon me with favor, my Lord. I am comforted by your words, even though I am not as worthy of them as even one of your servant girls. Later during the meal, Boaz spoke to Ruth again. Come over here and have some of my food. Dip your piece of bread in the vinegar and wine. So Ruth sat down among the harvesters. Boaz also offered her some roasted grain. She ate as much as she wanted and even had some left over. When her meal was finished, she got back up and returned to work. Then Boaz pulled some of the young harvesters aside and gave them instructions about her. He said, let her pick up grain from among the sheaves. Do not reprimand or humiliate her for gleaning where it is unusually forbidden. Instead, periodically pick out a stalk or two from the sheep she's already been bound and leave them for her to gather for herself and give her more. Make sure that no one gives her a hard time. So Ruth worked in the field all day until the sun had nearly set. When she finished picking up the leftover ears, she beat her gathered barley grain from the stalks with a stick. All the work resulted in over 20 quarts of grain. Then she carried it back to the city where her mother-in-law saw how much she had gleaned. Ruth took out the leftover food from what she could not eat off of her midday meal and gave it to Naomi. Where do you go to work today? She said. What did you glean to get all of this? May the God bless the person who gave you all that kind of attention. All right. So what you got, what you get. And then there's silence. I like it. When a word just speaks for itself, huh? Yes.
I feel that God loves, he rewarded loyalty to Naomi, and that Boaz could really identify her worth because she left everything behind and came to a foreign land just because of her mother.
Okay.
So God basically used Boaz to bless Ruth.
Okay. All right. Is that a hand?
Yes.
Yes. Go.
I think that the word favor comes out when you're saying that when Boaz told his men, you see how hard she's doing to gather and to get all of the barley or whatever, and he even told them, give her a hand to go ahead and break down some of the stuff so that she can get that will add to show favor. That's where I think the favor came in, so that she could have even more than what she anticipated or what she would have done on her own, like a favor was shown.
Amen. Amen. Here it is, this immigrant girl, right? Go. No, go.
I think she still has to work.
Huh?
She still has to work for it.
She still has to work for it.
God gave her favor, man. But she still has to put in the work to do it.
Right.
You know, and I think sometimes we think, oh, no, you know, we belittle it or discount it because it still cost us something, you know. And she didn't, and she had to still walk it back.
Yeah.
She still had to do the work when she got back there, you know.
Yeah.
But still,
that
it's still labor.
That's just the labor for Christ and her.
She didn't take advantage of the favor.
Right.
She understood that even though she was getting favor from him, she still needed to do some things that got her the favor.
Right.
It was the hard work that got her the favor. So when she got the favor, she still did the hard work
to
continue to get the favor. And the fact of the matter was that she was a foreigner, like you said, so the white man couldn't keep her down.
Come on.
You know, the fact she didn't have to drop her sleeve up, I'm going to say sleeve, to get the favor. Come on, somebody. And even though there was 100 other more women out there, my God, come on, he let her shine. Come on here, somebody. Okay, I'm trying. Why? No, but that thing is good because we have to understand. Normally do the stuff that we say, the white man keeping me down. She was a foreigner. She left everything that she knew and was obedient, watch this, to her mother-in-law. Let me repeat that. She was obedient to her mother-in-law, even though her husband had died. We don't even want to be obedient to our mother-in-law, and he's still alive. And so, the favor so much so that they gave extra. She didn't have to take pictures, you know, she didn't have to sue nobody, she didn't have to do nothing, she didn't have to act like she hurt her leg in the field and sued the man because she hurt her. She didn't have to do any of that. He made sure that she got extra, that she got abundance. It looked to me like somebody should have been following behind her because she was dropping some stuff. I'm finna get some of your. Come on here, somebody.
She didn't compromise. Amen.
You got behind her. You getting a lot of stuff. Some leftovers from the leftovers.
And what portion got her notice when we talk about it? What did Boaz say? He said, I heard the report.
Yeah.
So I heard the report. I seen the sacrifice. I understand all that you've been through. That you here you is still following this lady and her husband is dead. I see your loyalty to it. I want you to understand. And I want us to hear that in the realm of the spirit. Amen.
Yes.
That the report, all that time we didn't sold and didn't think we didn't lead them. We went behind them $100 lines and it never happened. And we spent it. We didn't gave our first fruits.
Yes.
We didn't sow. There is still the report of the Lord that's landing in the right hand in this year. Amen. And she ended
up at a table that she shouldn't have been eating up at.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
She ended up at a table. She's an immigrant. She could have stayed in that field.
But can't you imagine how she was talked about? She left her family.
Yeah.
That's strange.
She left the blood of her.
Yes,
somebody
yes.
was saying, what she do to get all that favor? Mm-hmm. What is she doing? They couldn't even write their mind. Somebody was saying she spoiled on her job. Come on, somebody.
She trusted God long before they got there.
From folks that ain't
Amen.
Even come on.
Amen.
She even told the workers, don't make her feel bad.
Yes.
Don't make her feel
right,
less
right.
than what she is. Mm-hmm. She's already a hard worker, so drop a little extra.
Right.
If that ain't favor,
he said drop some salt. Oh, don't
right.
just drop a grain.
Yeah.
Put a whole tree out there for
green that ain't easy. We got machines to do that stuff now, but back in the day, they had that little...
Gleaning ain't easy.
Yeah, they had to work. It wasn't a weed record, but you know what
I mean. She trusted God long before they got there.
Somebody
Prophet.
Said she trusted God long
I
before they got there.
If you go back and read verse 12, it says, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. It was her relationship when she was married to Naomi's son and all in that arena. Her relationship with God was built right there. Her trust with God was built right there long before Boaz and any of that situation came along. So it was her relationship and her trust. It says right here, she was under the wings of God long before she got to gleaning the work. Work was not hard for her because that's what she had done. She was committed. She was obedient, and she trusted God no matter what God said, no matter where she came from. She trusted God, and that's where her favor came from. Her favor didn't come from all that gleaning and this, that, and the other. It came from her trusting God.
And just to piggyback into that, I wanted to piggyback off of that also. One thing that stood out for me was how much she gleaned. It gave the number 20. So I'm always attentive when God throws numbers in there. So the number 20 in Scripture is twice the number 10, which usually means that it's the complete or a perfect waiting period. It's also synonymous with being freed from control, because when we look at the number 20 in Scripture, Jacob waited 20 years to get possession of his wives and his property. And then the other number 20 in the Scripture that came up for me was the children of Israel who waited to be freed from Jabin, the king of Canaan, you know, who oppressed them. You know, so it's synonymous with being freed from control as well. So, she gleaned, after a perfect waiting period. She had waited, and she had done what she needed to do up to that time, and she was able to glean more than she needed.
Amen.
And prophet,
Amen.
We have
yes.
to also look at how the whole scripture started. She bowed down. She was humbly
Amen.
Submitted. She knew where her place was because she knew the awesome God. And she knew nothing that she
Amen.
Could do.
That's what I'm talking about.
So she worshiped. When she bowed
Amen.
Down, she put her head to the ground. It was not I. That's like that piece of grain falling to the ground so that it can multiply because all of the flesh had gone. She was stripped from everything she knew, and she had embraced everything she saw out of the life of her mother-in-law. And so she worshiped. And worship will bring faith.
Not work.
So if you don't do any work, worship brings favor, and because you worship, your work becomes your worship. So that's why someone was saying it wasn't hard for her, it was easy. She didn't probably understand what the big deal was, because for her, she was worshiping the position and actually the grace and acknowledging that it was divinely given. It had nothing to do with her, because she was, like you say, a foreigner. It had nothing to do with her. So this was Amen. Divinely given to her regardless, but because she bowed down and worshiped. That's it.
Amen. Pastor, you had your hand up at one point. Amen.
I did. It was her confession that she said, "You will be my people, your God, be my God." And then just as Overseer was talking, I went back to look at the portals that we'd be talking about, and I didn't see one for favor, but I was willing to bet that she opened a portal of favor based on activating it through obedience.
I was going to, just to iterate what Overseer said, it wasn't worship. It wasn't work. It was worship. And it ain't labor. It's love. We love for Christ.
Hallelujah.
It wasn't labor. It was love. And love will make you do what you're supposed to do. All right. Amen. Let's give Lord a hand clap praise. Let's do something around here. All right. So let's look at Acts. Let's go to this.
I can, Joe, just before you said, yeah. And I know we were at 10. But Abe also talks about her positioning. God gave her specific instructions. So I think obedience brings a lot of part of our favor. He told her what to do, what not to do, don't be in nobody else's stuff, but exactly where to be so she can be positioned strategically. She heard God's voice. She was obedient to God, and it's just what follows.
Amen.
And I think that's what Overseer said when she gave her an order and obedience in some of the decorations.
One of the persons. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Minister Pat just pointed out one of the things that we said on the first week that the Lord shared with Overseer was obedience and order. Amen. Which order, which we now can understand, order is translated also as a position. You know, when God strategically positioned you in a place, on a job, in a city, wherever it is, that order is that position, which is bringing about that favor. Amen. All right. Amen. So let's look at things we should be looking for. We're looking for that new favor, and we're also looking for new movement of God's Spirit. New movement of God's Spirit, and we're gonna look at John 1:23-25. John 1:23-25. And Acts 2:2-6. John 1:23-25. Acts 2:2-6. So we understand that, you know, Isaiah said that God does what in 43? He does what? A new thing, right? And it springs forth when? It's happening now. And Isaiah said it gets to a place that we don't even understand how God is moving, and that God is. I think it's Henry Blackaby that says God is always at work, and that we have to be always at work around us, and we have to be sensitive to how God is moving. And I think sometimes we can get culturally, religiously stuck in a place expecting God to move specifically and in a certain way, and when God desires to continue to move in ways that we may not yet know. And it is not always comfortable. It's not going to be popular all the time. It may not always be confirmed or affirmed, but understand that when God is moving, it is God, all right? So let's look at John, what, 1? And anybody has it? Want to read it while I'm fine?
Yep.
Thank you.
This is the voice. John replied with the words of Isaiah the prophet, "Listen, I am a voice calling out in the wilderness. Straighten out the road for the Lord. He's on his way." Then some of those sent by the Pharisees questioned him again. How can you travel the countryside baptizing people if you are not the anointed one or Elijah the prophet?
Greet them all.
Baptizing with the water is what I do, but the one whom I speak of, whom we all await, is standing among you, and you have no idea who he is. Though he comes after me, I am not even worthy to unlace his sandals. The mystery.
That stop right there. There we go. All right, John 1. All right, so what do we hear? What do we get? John replied with the words of Isaiah. He said what? I am what? I am a voice calling out where? Now, why is that important? Why is the position of what he's talking about is important? What the wilderness represents? Okay, what else? Anybody else?
Prophet, the message version says, I am thunder in the desert, which signifies thunder is usually the precursor to rain, which is a harvest.
I know that's right.
So he was saying that I'm a voice crying out where there is nothing. My voice is getting ready to bring forth.
Amen.
My voice is what decrees something to come about.
Amen. So John is saying, I am the one crying out the wilderness. And that is important because culturally, geographically, there was no voices coming out of the wilderness. There was no position in that particular place where a voice was coming from. And then more importantly, the people that were looking for the voice, they showed one looking in the wilderness. They were not expecting that kind of place to arise because now John comes on the scene after what? A period of silence with an expectation to hear, but not hearing from the place that it was coming out of.
Wow.
I'm going to say that again for you. Amen. The people having an expectation to hear, but not from the place in which this voice was coming out of, that which was already spoken of by the prophet Elijah, that there would arise this kind of voice. It would rise this kind of movement of God. This will happen, but not positioned in the place that it once thought. And then he says in verse 24, and they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him what they said to him. Why baptize thou if thou be not the Christ, nor the Elijah, nor the prophet? And then John said what? I baptize with water, but guess what? Something greater is coming, amen?
Right.
A whole new kind of movement is coming, and it is coming with fire. It is coming with shoes. I'm not worthy to feet latch. And then we know that repent doesn't mean to what? Stop sinning, right? Repent means to what? Turn away and do what? Change your mindset. Turn away and change your mindset. So this kind of fire, this kind of anointing, this thing that is arising up is not just about stopping. It is about a complete change. A whole 360 is getting ready to happen. And so I want us to understand what is arising out of us, what God desires to do in us, and for us not to be comfortable or even complacent, because we can become comfortable and we can grow complacent and we can just continue to do what we normally do and not understand that God is doing something new. And guess where it starts? It's starting in you. It's starting through the place that's in you. And so, you know, don't be afraid when you hear start your Bible study on your job and you turn that daggone lunchroom out. Amen. You know, you started here and all of a sudden things are changing and happening. And be aware of the people that is sent to receive what it is inside of you. Because the people that were sent to hear and see, they was like, you can't be the one.
Yeah.
Or more importantly, they question what? How are you the one?
Mm-hmm.
How is it that this is happening and you don't line up with nothing else that we know about, heard about, or we've seen, and yet the Spirit of God rests inside of you? A new fire is rising up in you to do something great, and you can't even explain it, understand it as well, and you just know, hey, I just got to do what God called me to do. Amen?
Yeah.
Anybody else?
Prophet Michael, while you were talking, I just kind of played on the word wilderness, and wilderness is synonymous to the word desert. And I think we've been groomed to see desert as a dry place, a dry land, even some place that you would die. But if you look at it through God's eyes, when you go wilderness and you go to the desert and you look at it through his eyes, he's going to bring life in the desert. You will not thirst in the desert. You will not hunger in the desert. So just like you said, the person you think, why is it coming? How could it come from this person? Just think about the desert through God's eyes and think about the wilderness through God's eyes and not ours, not what we think it's supposed to look like, but the way it actually is. I'm done.
Man. Here's that verse out of the Passion Version. Listen to this. There were some of the Jewish leaders who sent an entourage of priests and temple servants from Jerusalem to interrogate John. They asked him, "Who are you?" John answered them directly, saying, "I'm not the Messiah." "Then who are you?" they asked. "Are you Elijah?" "No," John replied. So they pressed him further. "Are you the prophet Moses said was coming, the one we're expecting?" "No," he replied. "Then who are you?" they demand. "We need an answer for those who sent us. Tell us something about yourself, anything." So John answered, "I am fulfilling Isaiah prophecy. I am an urgent, thundering voice, shouting in the desert, 'Clear the way and prepare your hearts for the coming of the Lord Yahweh.'" Then some members of the religious sect known as the Pharisees questioned John, "Why do you baptize the people since you just demanded Christ, Elijah, or the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize in this river, but the one who would take my place is to be more honored than I. But even when he stands among you, you won't recognize or embrace him. I'm not worthy enough to stoop down in front of him and untie his sandals." This is all took place at Bethany, where John was baptizing at the place of the crossing of the Amen? All right. All right, let's look at Acts 2. Man, anybody else before we move forward? Acts 2?
I was looking at the fact that how he did things, he did something that people didn't feel like he had the authority to do. And that even though he was doing it out of obedience to God, he didn't get pious, he didn't get haughty with it. He let them know that I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm doing what it has already been proclaimed that I was going to do. And yet he was humble enough to say, but it's one coming, it's somebody coming after me. You looking at what I'm doing right now. You know, you trying to say I'm out of order and doing what I'm doing, but it's one who's coming after me that's going to do a greater thing.
Yeah.
So we're going to be able to do things where people are going to, who gave you the authority to do that? Who gave you the authority to do that? Who gave you the authority to heal? Who gave you the authority to speak into people's lives? Who gave you the authority to do? And so we'll begin to do, but we'll understand and still give glory and praise to God for what he's doing.
So I just like how God moves. Look, so how can you do this? Because according to 5, 7, 7, 8, I'm under a new anointing. I'm under a new authority. I'm under a new covenant. I'm walking through new doors. I got new kind of favor.
Yes.
I'm in this new alignment.
Yes.
I done messed around and dreamed again.
And so I can move in this kind of spirit of God, amen, that is operating inside of me, amen. Acts 2, you want to read it for me? You got the voice?
Yes.
All right.
Picture yourself among the disciples. A sound roars from the sky without warning, the roar of a violent wind, and the whole house where you are gathered reverberates with the sound. Then the flame appears, dividing into smaller flames and spreading from one person to the next. All the people present are filled with the Holy Spirit and begin speaking in languages they've never spoken as the Spirit empowers them. Because of the Holy Festival, there are devout Jews staying as pilgrims in Jerusalem from every nation under the sun. Then hear the sound, and a crowd gathers. They are amazed because each of them can hear the group speaking in their native languages. They are shocked and amazed by this.
All right, so we know that scripture, right? So I'm gonna read it out of the Passion Version, and I want to know what do we hear differently this time? All right, Acts 2, verse 2. Suddenly, they heard the sound of a violent blast of wind rushing to the house from out of the heavenly realm. The roar of the wind was so overpowering it was all anyone could hear. Then all at once, a pillar of fire appeared before their eyes. It separated into tongues of fire that engulfed each one of them. They were all filled and equipped with the Holy Spirit and were inspired to speak in tongues, empowered by the Spirit to speak in language they had never learned. Now, at the time, there were Jewish worshipers who had immigrated from many different lands to live in Jerusalem. When the people of the city heard the roaring sound, crowds came running to where it was coming from, stunned and overwhelmed with what was happening, because each one could hear the disciples speaking in his or her own language. Bewildered, they said to one another, "Aren't these all Gileans? So how is it that we hear them speaking in our own languages?" All right. So that's not an unfamiliar passage of scripture. What do we hear new? Why were they all in that place?
They assembled themselves there because they had been mandated to wait for Christ.
They had an order, right? Mm-hmm. they were positioned in obedience. Right? They had an order. They were positioned in obedience.
It was also the Feast of Pentecost. It was Pentecost time, so.
It was Pentecost time. It was time for a movement, right? When the new movement was getting ready to rise. New movement arise. They were in that place. They were praying, but it's also they were doing what? We've been using this word all day so far. They weren't working. They was what?
Worshiping.
They was in worship, right? They were in worship.
Yeah.
You know, some of them may have been in a little fear, you know, a little anxiousness, like, oh, you know. They just saw Christ do something miraculous. He told them to what? Carry and wait. And what's that one thing that we all talk about, we always use? They were all in what? One accord. Oh, they was doing ministry of one another, right?
Amen.
They were doing the ministry of one another. Amen. They were doing the ministry of one another in one place, in one accord, with one heart.
Yes.
And then look what happened.
And then look what happened, right?
Amen. And I think it ties in with John the Baptist, because he clearly states in the beginning, he's a voice, and everything is by hearing. He's a voice. He didn't say he was a man or a person, or he said, "I'm just a voice." And then comes the sound of the others, the voice of the sound of the Holy Spirit, you know, as this rushing wind that she was mentioning, the thunder, you know, and it's all the voice. It's like when God created the world, he just spoke it. It is they hear. So there's something that we're being directed in our ear gate that has to be the new thing that goes forth in this season of miracles and change. We're going to hear it, the voice.
And how are portals open? How are they activated, Pastor Bethel? You said it earlier. How they they're activated by
right.
voice. They were praying.
By
obedient. What?
Yeah.
Faith. What?
Order.
Proclamation.
Yep.
Amen. And that portal from heaven opened, and it's still open. Open that portal
Amen.
And it never closed. What else you hear? What else you see from that?
Not a time to be silent.
Amen. Hear that? Amen.
We you know, he's consistently talking about I'm a voice. I'm saying something. Not only am I saying something, but I'm saying what I hear of the Father. To not be afraid to let our voice be sounded. To even if it's in a wilderness place, the people, even when they were speaking then, they were saying they were drunk. The skeptics were there, you know. But because of their obedience to what God did, the movement had to come. So if it's voice activated and we're quiet and waiting on it, we're waiting to see something happen without knowing that it's not going to happen until we deem it and say it and speak it for it to happen.
And it goes back, I think Pastor Marlette pointed out, Ruth made what? She made a confession, right?
Yeah.
I think somebody said earlier, your confession is my people voice activated.
Yes.
You know, voice activated. She made a confession. And silence don't mean screaming, right?
Right.
We just do that because we're excited.
Yes.
and we mm-hmm. like noise.
Right.
But it is through our.
Go ahead.
No, go
I was
ahead.
Saying even the mandate of the ministry. To be a voice, not an echo. We're not repeating something that we've heard. We are sharing what's been downloaded, and it's so new and fresh, people think we're crazy, like they thought they were drunk. What's wrong with
yes.
them, you know? And yet it's reaching who it's intended to reach. So being that voice that people will hear and not an echo of things that they've heard over and over and over, but the new sound, the new sound.
Prophet,
Amen.
Also,
Amen.
Prophet, you know how when somebody wants to, when you listen to somebody and they're talking and then they say something that totally shocks you, Pentecost was just like that. It was like out of nowhere this thing happened. It was a suddenly kind of thing, you know. And it talks about how fast the gale force winds. You know, how fast this thing was going, and then it spread among them like this wildfire. You know, it just spread among them, you know, and then they started speaking in other tongues, you know, as they were prompted
Amen.
By the Spirit was spreading around, spreading through them. So, you know, that suddenly theme is all through that portion of Scripture.
Amen. And the passion, I think the voice said it too, the passion said, by the Spirit, they empowered by the Spirit to speak in language they had never learned.
Right.
There's no prototype for it, you know. They had never learned this. They just began to suddenly move in obedience. They began to suddenly move in faith. They opened that portal and it appeared and things began to happen. Amen. Man, Father, we thank you. Come on, let's just give them praise. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We give you glory and honor, and we magnify you. Thank you for being such an awesome God. Such a wonderful God. Thank you. Thank you for what you have to share and revealed over these last five Wednesdays. And
thank you so much, God.
Every kingdom, every person that represents the kingdom of God have played a part to hear your voice and to share and to activate your heart.
Yes.
And we thank you.
Yes, we do.
And we just give you all glory and honor. Oh, we're excited about this year, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you that you love us, that you didn't even leave us ignorant of it. You make known your ways and in your heart Yes. And you reveal your desires and you prove yourself. And we thank you for it.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. We thank you that we make the confession of Scripture that says, you are not a man that you shall lie, nor the son of man that you shall repent. If you said it, you would do it. If you spoke it, you'll make good. You'll bring it to pass. You'll bring it to fruition.
Yes, God.
Thank you for the maturation that is taking place in us so that we can receive all that you have for us. So we honor and praise you, and we thank you. We just yield our hearts, our spirits, and we just wait quietly to be sensitive to hear whatever you would download so that we may continue to share it. So we thank you. And we bless you and praise you. We're going to ask the overseer, she prepared to give us a song, and we'll just open our hearts in this moment and receive and share as we are in awe and amazed of who you are and all that you've done. And we thank you. We just give you glory. Give you all honor, Father. Bless you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Anybody have anything to share? Well, media will oversee us by our playing the song. I heard Psalms 37, verse 1 through 7. Psalms 37. It's not... very familiar passage. And it simply says, spread not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thy envious against the workers of iniquity, for they soon shall be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily shalt thou be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit that way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prosper in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. And I also heard, let go. So the Lord says, simply let go. And the G-O represents grew over it. And the Lord said, you have outgrown what you have been holding on to. It don't have you, you have. Now it's time to walk in the growth that the it was shaping and molding you into be, to be more like me. Let go. Because you grew over it.
I heard 1 Corinthians 1:27. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast. So we don't mind looking ridiculous so that God can look miraculous.
Amen. 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 1 Corinthians
27-31.
27-31. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? All right. All right. All right. Let's just get a Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Father, we do thank you for all that you have done over this month, and we celebrate your awesomeness. And we just wait in expectation for all that you have spoken and is manifesting in our lives individually and collectively. And we seal it by the blood, we seal it by your word, and we seal it by your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Overseer, we turn it over to you. God bless you.
Just a few reminders, and one is of this Saturday. It is the final day of National Day of Prayer for the Midwest on Saturday or early Sunday morning from 1 a.m. to 3 p.m. is the scheduled time that our own Archbishop, Dr. Jacob Achebach, has taken over that for Illinois. It is the Midwest National Day of Prayer. Summit and for Illinois, Kansas, Oklahoma, Indiana, Missouri, and Michigan. And you can call in and participate in listening during the night watch and the focus to prayer. Focus is for the media, the mountain of media. And that number you can get from the ministry, just call in. We can give you the phone number and the access code. Again, that's the prayer summit at 1 in the morning, 1 to 3. Archbishop Occupied has that time spot for the night watch. So we just are going to look forward to next month. I don't know if Pastor Marlette can let us know who's on schedule for next month, February, if she's available.
Prophet Henderson
will give us further direction for next month. Amen. Yeah. It's a surprise. Just be ready.
Well, okay. You heard it. You never know. We're laborers. Amen. So we thank God for that, and we pray that you will enjoy your worship as well as the rest of the week.
Have a good one, baby. Thank
definitely
you.
Enjoy the ministry of Holy Spirit. Amen.
You too,
good night.
Amen.
Good night.